in between his two messages. And you'll see in just a minute how that is and how that works out. And that thrills my soul whenever I see the Lord's got his hand on something. But it also concerns me because of this. That means you're going to be given something today with these messages and with the outpouring of this church that it's going to be required at your hand. All right, you're going to be responsible for this. You're going to answer for this, what you get today. And so don't take it lightly at all. We've got to see a generation raise up that knows God. Amen. That's you. Amen. Amen. It's you. No pressure. You got to save the world. Amen. You're going to have to do something. I mean, sitting back playing your video games and all that kind of stuff ain't going to work anymore. Amen. We got plenty of idiots running around. It don't need to be you. Amen. I'm not joking. I mean, we can laugh and card kid up. I love cutting up, love kid. But ever since they God burdened my heart about this, I've been burdened. And my folks at church will tell you, I've been burdened for the young folks. We've got to have a generation that knows God. Amen. I'm not just knows about God. I mean, you know him. You walk with him. You know his voice. Amen. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. Amen. They follow me. We've got to have some folks like that. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I love the theme, and this is great. Man, I love props and all this stuff, man, to the church done awesome. I like the thing. I think you ought to leave that up year round. Amen. That is neat, having all this in here. And I enjoy this. But there's been a lot of work so that you'll hear the Word of God. And so you'll get it. Now, here's something. You think y'all, how many of you think you're in here pretty tough? Really, honestly, think you're pretty tough. You can handle it. I mean, you got a pretty good backbone. Amen? None of you? Oh, good gracious, I'm going to push a different message in. Weak need people of the church. No, amen? But how many of you think you're pretty tough about it? I mean, you can handle about what God throws at you as far as he tells you, you'll do it, right? How many of you in here are saved and you know it? No, I mean, honestly, now don't lie about it. I'm not going to make fun of you, but we're not going to be a bunch. We're not bowing our heads. We're not going to have an invitation where you sit here and we work through a song and you hide behind it. How many of you know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that you're saved? Amen. Young, old, you know it. Amen? Okay, put your hands down. Now, let's see how tough you are. How many of you don't think or you're not sure about it? Not everybody raised their hand. How many of you are just not sure about it? No, stick it up there. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'll never do that. But we got to have some, this is what we got to get back to. Amen. Do you have your hand up, sir? Amen. Ma'am, do you have your hand up? Really? Praise God. That takes courage. Right. You're a lot braver than most. Amen. In this room. I'm talking to even saved folks. Because most saved folks won't even witness anybody. Yeah. But you too, you got a question about it. All right. Amen. There's no shame in being lost. The shame is when you don't admit it. And there's no shame in not knowing. It's when you don't admit it. Now let me ask you this. I see Brother Merrick sitting there. I know you're the pastor here. Can we have permission to deal with those too if they would like? Can their folks deal with them right now? If they would like? Would you like to deal with that now, or would you rather hear the message? You want to hear the message? Would you want to deal with that now or hear the message? Hear the message? Okay. Amen. Anybody else? Any others? All right. There's no shame in that. Don't look down on them. They're in the best place in the world. You know why? Because they're honestly standing before God. Now, by the time this is over, if some of you others haven't got to that place, I hope you do. Young, old, I don't care who you are. I hope you get there. Because that's what it's going to take. I applaud it. Man, that's awesome. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says this. Just go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. We got to get back to that too. The Bible says this. Just read one verse. You know it, but I want to show you something out of it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to look at that last part. We're going to cut to the chase for time's sake of things not seen. I want to look at that last part. Of things not seen. Father, we need your help today. God, you see what's going on. And you see how you've set this up. and how you put all these pieces together for this day. And Lord, you know the hearts of everyone, not just the two that were so honest. And God, I know you smile upon that honesty. Lord, I pray you'd help us all, that our hearts would be totally given over to you. Father, that we'd see folks from this meeting raised up to serve you with all their heart. Lord, to be diligent even when they're alone with you. And Lord, may you get all the glory for it, because you're the only one worthy. We love you. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Now I want to preach on anchored faith. That's the slogan, which I love that. Anchored faith, things not seen. I want to preach on, that's the title. If you like titles and you want to write that down, some of you here are CDO, amen. And you'll get there. I thought Brother Crumpton, I was sitting there thinking, he's CDO, amen. He's not OCD. He's CDO, but I can relate. But understand this. I know about the time we get done with the service. Don't do it during the invitation. Some of you are going to stand up and go, I know what he means. I got it. Yes. Oh, wow. You'll get there. But I want you to see this anchored faith and the things not seen. Now, when you have an anchored faith in God, all right? I mean, when you're really anchored in God, when you have that faith, the world will not see why you do the things God tell you to do. The world is not going to see why you do the things that God tells you to do. They're not going to understand it. They're not going to see it. It's not going to be evident. It's not going to be clear to them. See, you got to realize this. The anchor of a ship is not seen when the ship sets anchor. You don't see it. You know it's there. You know how come you know it's there? The ship don't move. The ship don't move. Now we're talking about this anchor and about being secure in God and all these things, but I'm telling you right now that you're going to have to make a decision in your life. And that's the decision to do the things that God's Word says, no matter what. No matter what happens, no matter the outcome, you're going to have to put your faith in God, anchor up to Him, tie hold of that thing, and let the things fall where they may, but I'm not turning loose of God.
Right.
Now look, I ain't having to turn loose of God about this male-female thing. Brother Crumpton was mentioning that. Hallelujah. We need to talk about that. We need to preach on that. I'm not having a discussion with you about that. You're a boy or girl.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Animals got figured out, right? Rooster or hen, right? I shoot bucks in deer season. You know how I know it's a buck? They look like a buck. You say, oh, they got antlers. Even if they don't have antlers, they look like a buck. They're square. Amen. Hunted deer all my life. Believe it or not, killed one with a buck knife one time. Won't tell you about that, but did. But I'm just telling you that we've got to get to the place where you're not moving me on that. You're not moving me on the New Testament church.
Right.
Amen? I'm Baptist. I'm glad to be Baptist. I love being Baptist. Jesus was a Baptist. You weak-kneed rascals. Amen? At least you preachers, and I heard some back, amen. Oh my. You youth leaders could have at least said amen. I am not ashamed of being Baptist. We took a Baptist pledge this morning. Amen. You say, well, it ain't all about being Baptist. It's in my life. I'm saved. You know how come I'm a Baptist? God told me. I didn't grow up. There ain't a bunch of preachers in my history. My family wasn't that faithful. We got married, my wife and I. You know what I told her? We're going to your church. You know why? They preach. I liked it. That pastor didn't get up there. He didn't preach. I love my pastor. He didn't preach like this. But he got up there and he said, this is how it is. This is what the Word of God says. And you need to turn around and conform to the Word of God. There's no question. I thought, man, I can relate to that. I get that. I understand that. I think you get that. I think this world causes you kids a lot of problems. Because they start questioning and you start listening to it. We're going to have to decide we're going to be who we are. We're going to be, if you're, how many of you are a member of the church that you belong to in here, that you're with today? How many of you member your church? Your members. Amen. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed. I am proud in the Lord. Amen. I am glad and excited in the Lord to be a member of the Bible Baptist Church of Cameron, Missouri. I'm no shame in that. You say, why? I'm anchored. That's my everything. That church, the church that God put me in, He used that to change my life. Totally different. It's hard telling what I'd end up being. Well, understand this. Anchored faith is not understood by the flesh or the world. You're going to have to get this. Anchored faith is not understood. It is unseen, but the world is not going to get this. You're, without listening to God's word, you're not going to understand it. It is spiritually discerned. It's got to come through the word of God. That's the reason your youth leaders, that's the reason all the preachers, they hammer on the word of God. They're saying, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. You don't want my opinion today. You don't want what I think. You want what the word of God has. That's the only thing that's going to make a difference in your life. Now, it might come through the fact that we give you scripture and say this scripture with this scripture, and then we have an understanding. That's what pastors and preachers and youth leaders, that's what they're supposed to do. But it's going to be, here's the word of God. You've got to take this. It's not, you need to, you've got to. You've got to get that it's one man, one woman for life. I'm not against divorced folks, but I'm just telling you the Bible principle is the great and wonderful thing. I've been married 30 years also. You know how come I've stayed married 30 years? Back yonder when we first started, my wife and I looked at her and I said, is there any possibility of divorce? Because I said, if we're going to get into this, I'd just like you can ask her if she was here. I looked at her and I said, is there any possibility? Because I said, we get into this. I said, I want to make sure that we're doing this one time. I'm not looking for all this. I understand things happen, and she's really thought about killing me several times. I understand that. You're sitting there thinking, I can see why. But I just you understand what I'm saying? I looked at that, and I said, and I didn't even know much about the scriptures at that time, like I do now. Hadn't studied like I had now. But I knew this. And you know what we done? We anchored it. My wife and I said, have we always got along? She's been wrong many times. I can say that and do that because she's not here today. Amen. I'm tough as nails when she's not here. But you got to understand that God put in my heart that, hey, I'm going to get married and I'm going to be married for life. There's no options. Amen. No matter what, we decided that at the beginning before we ever took our vows. We decided there's no options. Say, what do you mean? Anchored. See, you know, people don't see that. They just see us having a marriage for 30 years. They just see Brother Crump and his wife having a marriage for 31 years and the rest of you. That's what they see. But the fact of the matter is, it's not that you haven't had trouble. I can ask anybody that's been married for more than a day. You say, how do you know that? Because everybody's got to decide where to eat. Amen? I can guarantee you. And everybody, but you got to make that decision. There's no option. I was scared to death when I took out a life insurance policy. Because she said she'd be a happy widow. I'm not lying. She says, I'm not looking to marry again. I'll be a happy widow. I really analyzed that. But the world's not going to understand it. Because you know what the world says? Well, what if she cheats on you? Or what if you cheat on her? God forbid that ever happened. But what if that happens? You know what I say? Well, I don't know. I don't want to ever experience it. But we'll work it out when it comes. If it does. Amen. We're not moving. Serving the Lord. You always got somebody trying to turn you on your preacher. I remember when I first got in church, the Lord signed me to my pastor to train me. He assigned me to him. I said, all right. He said, you want to be a member under this? You know what I did? I stood with him. Well, what if he's wrong? I stood with him. I might not agree with him being wrong. Because, I mean, nobody's right like I am. Amen. Brother Andrew, same way. I can tell it. Amen. But you just, I know he's pastor too, so you got to do that. But I'm just saying, you stand, and I said, I'm standing with my preacher, and I'm going to stay here, and God, I'm going to stay here until you tell. My pastor said one time, he was praying about the mission field, and I said, you better get 2 tickets. And the other one ain't for your wife. Amen. Why? Anchored. No, not moving. Amen. I was serious. Because God had appointed him to train me. See, this is what's missing today in our society, especially in our churches, is that wherewithal that says, I'm not moving. Yeah. Amen. I'm standing still. Well, did you hear about so-and-so? Don't care, love him anyway. Well, it doesn't matter. God hadn't told me. God put Moses with over 1 million people that didn't like God or him and told him to stay right there.
Right.
Amen. Amen. See, we've got to understand if we're going to have anchored faith, it's not going to be seen, the anchoring. It's going to be done. Now stay with me. Look at verse 8. And I know I've got to move. Look at verse 8. It says, by faith, Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. What happened was this. Abraham had anchored faith. Look at verse 17. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Now, look. You can't do what Abraham done without anchored faith. There's no way. And the world can't see. You think the world looked at that and said, Abraham, you know, why are you leaving your mom and dad? Why are you taking off? Go with me. Genesis chapter 12. Go over Genesis 12. You need to learn to use your Bible again. Amen. Get a hold of that thing. Memorize. You know what the preacher, my pastor, made me do the first thing when I told him? I said, I'm starting to preach. He said, good. Memorize the books of the Bible. All 66. I was 22 years old and I didn't have them memorized. Amen. How many of you got them memorized? From Genesis to Revelation. Amen. Good. You're ahead in the game. It took me about a year to get them all nailed down perfect, where I could just do like this. Then I turned 50 and I forgot them. But anyway, I'm just telling you. Memorize them. Make it a point. We got a guy in our church, one of our officers. He got a Bible for anybody that'll come and tell him the books of the Bibles. You can get a free Bible from him. He'll make sure you get it. Genesis to Revelation. Amen. Hallelujah. But see, this is the thing. Abraham here, he had anchored faith, and we see it. Look at verse, look at verse number 12. Abraham didn't move when he heard God's word. See, the big thing I think we got going on is not that we're not hearing the word of God. I know these preachers and these youth leaders and youth pastors here, I know they're preaching the word of God. I know they're giving you, they're open up. I mean, King James Bible, they're throwing it out there. They're putting it there. It's before you. It's filled in your churches. Amen. It's not a matter if you're hearing it. It's a matter of what you do after you hear it. Just like Brother Crumpton, he's going to preach on the home and the family and marriage and then get to the church this afternoon. You understand? It's a matter of what you do with this. Because you're either going to heed and stand still and say, look, okay, God brought me to this place. I'm not moving without God. I'm going to do what God's told me to do. I'm going to follow what I've heard today. I'm going to get in and let the folks that have been appointed over me help me understand this, and I'm not going to move.
Right.
Or you can say, well, let me think about this. Let me ponder this. Let me ponder what really is being said. You know, well, you know, that youth leader, he's not so smart. Or, you know, my pastor's kind of an idiot. You don't think that's not said in homes? You don't think that's not said in hearts of people? You might be sitting right here right now, one of you young people, and think that about your youth leader, about your pastor. Amen. Yeah, you've thought about it. I can see it right there. Who's your youth leader and pastor? Yeah, I know. Just a minute. Even though you might be right, he's still the youth leader. Amen? No. No, amen. But I'm just saying, this is This is the idea that floats through our churches, and this is not anchored faith. Because you know what you're going to do? You're going to move. That's going to move you. It's going to move you to think, well, you know, he gets up here and acts goofy. He gets up here, you're putting it on, you're the target, amen? That's how it goes. I've done this before, so you can, but you might think he gets up here and acts goofy, or he has too good a time. He smiles too much. You know, I had somebody tell me I smile too much. Can you believe that? Had one guy won't come to church because he said I say to amen too much. No kidding. Amen. He counted him one service. I wasn't preaching. But you know what I determined? I was going to be behind my pastor.
That's right. That's right.
He could have said the sky's blue. Amen! You know? Amen? Say why? I'm going to be behind my pastor. I'm anchored there. My pastor, even now, is Bob Reagan. He pastors down in Summersville, Missouri. A little town down there. You know what? I'd whip any five or six of you if you did anything to him. I'm not kidding. You say, but you're a pastor. You shouldn't be that way. Haven't learned that yet. I'm committed to it. Amen. You say, but he ain't even your pastor anymore. I know. I just figured God kind of appointed me there.
That's right.
And I'll do it. Amen. Why? I anchored. He helped me anchor up. I'm not moving from that. You say, what if he does something wrong? Still, he's still my friend. And the investment he put in me is still there.
That's right. Amen. That's
right. I'm anchored. But he might act like, well, he might even wear them socks that I just noticed. They're blue. I am not that type of guy. Amen? No, really, I'm just not that I'm not against that. Just not that type of guy. I wear black socks. My wife blessed the fire out of me. You know what? I wear cowboy boots. That's a good thing. I wear cowboy boots. And you ever get them short socks that this top of this boot rubs against your leg? I don't like that. She went and found me some socks. I'm not kidding you. Wrangler makes them. They come all the way up here to my knee. If it wasn't in church, I'd show you. Amen? Right there. That sock comes all the way up there. You know why she done that? She's anchored. It didn't matter to me. I can wear boots. They bother me, but I was going to keep my eye out because they don't make socks at Walmart anymore that come up to you high enough. She ordered these online, $2 a pair. Amen. You say, that ain't that expensive. It is to me. Put them up, and she's anchored to me. I don't know about that, but anyway, you want to know something? He's got a love. I can tell you just right now, and talking to him on the phone, we just talked just seconds, maybe a minute. I don't know. It wasn't very long. I don't talk much, and I don't reckon you do either like that. But he told me what was needed, and I said, okay. Why are we talking any further? You know, just how I am. He says, you got one, you don't preach the middle message. Done. Okay. You need anything from me? That's what I ask you. No? Okay. Bye. We'll see you at the meeting. We'll pray. I guarantee you, he loves you.
Amen.
Amen. And there's an anchor there. He loves this church. Brother Merrick loves you.
Right.
People of this church, Brother Merrick loves you. Your pastor, I know some of you, loves you. I know Brother Bradshaw and I don't know much about each other, but I know, I've watched him over the years. He's a lot older than I am. I've watched him over the years. He loves his church, loves his people. Amen. Several, I can tell. You can watch people. But there's a reason that is because there's an anchor there. And this is the anchor that they're trying to get you in. And Abraham had this anchor. Look at verse number 12, verse 1. The Bible says this. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. Do you understand? That's not common for that day. That's not how it worked. Usually you got a part of the tent, you set up shop with your family, you had your kids, everybody was together. This was strange. What God had told Abraham to do. But you notice this, verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thee thy great name, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless thee that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And it shall, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Do you understand today that Abraham had this because he stayed with God? God said, don't you think he had family that was there that said, hey, Abraham, you sure you're making the right decision?
Yeah.
Abraham, you think you ought to go to church all the time? Abraham, you think you ought to read that Bible all the time? I know what you're facing. Kids, young people, I know, I'm sorry. You're not kids. Young adults. I know what's going on. You got kids all around you going, why are you one of them nerdy churchy folk? You really want to be one of those?
That's right.
Amen. Don't you think Abraham, they were sitting there, Abraham, you want to leave your family? That's not an honorable son. Why would you go a long ways off? Why would you do that? And they would disdain him. They would talk down to him about it. They would make it in the negative. I'm telling you what, today, the world's going to make it in the negative. If you're going to serve God, they're going to make it in the negative to you about it. They're going to talk negatively about the fact you serving God. All the way around. They're not going to, oh, I know that how it goes. They come up, they say, oh, that's good for you. And all the while, you can tell, it's almost like it's sarcasm. Amen. I know, I've watched it. I've watched kids in our own church do it to one another. Well, you don't have to do. Amen. I heard of a guy in our church one time, this has been years ago. I heard him say, well, you know, preacher, I wasn't in the room, but I was close to the room. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to attack. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to wait. And God let me preach a message, and I preached a message on how in the world would you ever tear somebody down in God and think that you could even be saved. Now, I know you could. And I clarified it in the message, but I thought, how could you do that? How could you destroy one of his little ones? How could you be such a mean person? Preach it just like that. All the way through. Why? Because you're trying to cut the anchor rope on somebody. Let them drift out into the ocean, out into the sea of life, and be dissolved into this humanity that we have. Abraham heard it. I guarantee you he did. Why are you leaving your mom and daddy? What are you leaving? What are you leaving? Oh, your family. That's not how we do it. He stayed with God. Verse 4. He stayed with God. So Abraham departed. Verse number 12. The world didn't see that. They couldn't see the anchor Abraham had. They didn't see it. They didn't understand it. But I guarantee you this. Abraham went. Look at Genesis 22. Flip over there. Genesis 22. Look at this. Genesis 22. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. Here I am. Man, I tell you what. You ever told God, here I am. I'll do whatever you want in a minute. My whole life changed in August of 1993. I wrote it in front of one of my Bibles back when it happened. God confronted me. I was living in a little single wide trailer. Just got married about 2 months before. Like I told you, I didn't have anything in my life. I'm not the tarpa shack in the box either. You figure that out from listening to me. But I want you to know this. God confronted me about my life. And all I could do was fall on my knees in a rocking chair in that. And I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. And I meant it. And as clearly as it is sitting right here, I heard in my heart, preach. I had no idea. I knew what a preacher was. I seen him, I watched him, but I had no idea about it. I went and told my preacher. I said, Pastor, I believe God's calling me to preach. And he says, I thought that was going to happen. I said, why didn't you tell me? He said, I want you to be preacher. God called, not preacher called. And I said, okay, I can see that. And then I said, and I believe God wants you to train me. I knew nothing about that. I knew nothing about discipleship. I knew nothing about any kind of thing like that. And my pastor looked at me and says, well, we got to pray about that. He come back and he says, you know, we used to do it that way. Pastors train pastors. Preachers train. We used to do it that way. He says, I believe you're right. Now, there was no spirituality or nothing because I just listened to God. But you know what happened? Anchored up. And I stayed with God. Look at this. In Genesis 22, he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Do you realize here, the world is not going to tell Abraham to take his teenage kid and go out there and sacrifice him, even if there's a million teenage parents who want to do it. Amen? They're not, the world's not going to say, go out there and sacrifice him to the... So, I know we kill babies left and right. I understand that. But you know as well as I do that the world is going to frown upon somebody doing this. And notice that Abraham didn't take counsel of anybody around him in the world. He just said, okay, God. He didn't move. He didn't move. When they say on Wednesday night that you got to go play a sports game or have a practice and it's church time, what are you taking to the altar? You're anchoring God? Or are you going to take that sports team and lay it on the altar and say, all right. You pull the knife, the word of God, and you lay it across the throat of that thing and you sacrifice it to God. Amen. What are you going to do? See, because you're facing that right now. Well, they're telling me I'm going to be the best there ever was. Really? The best there ever was has already been. Just remember that. You'll never be as good as you used to be. You're going to be 50 years old and be awesome at something that you wasn't 50 years ago or 30 years ago. Amen. I've seen so many that sports have just took them plumb out. I can name you a young man right now. Into sports. Well, you know what they started doing? They had sports on Wednesdays. They had sports on Sunday. You know what he chose? Do the sports. Not in church. Not married. Got a kid. The world just ate him up. Just ate him up. Amen? You know why? He moved. Oh, he was there. He's at church all the time. He faithfully come on the bus. He come in. Willing to do it. He had a servant attitude. I could go up to him and say, hey, would you want to? Yeah, okay. I'll do that. Hey, would you go get me a glass of water? Yeah, I'll do that. But he moved. See, here's the whole thing. We've got to stay with God. Abraham stayed with God. When God said, go sacrifice your son, Abraham said, all right. Now, if you look at Hebrews, he thought that God was going to raise him from the dead. But you want to know something? For God to raise him from the dead, mean Abraham had to kill him. And he knew it, but he went and did it. When that job, because you got a car, you don't have to have a car. I want you to know that. Amen. Boy, I didn't get any amens there at all. Even you parents are sitting there thinking, man, it's going to be good when they get a car. They don't have to have a car. Because you know what happens when you get a car? You got to pay for it. And you never buy one for $100. I know my kids, no loans. You ain't buying, you ain't loan, you're going to pay cash for a car. Amen. Amen. Go find a car for $100. That's easy. You say, but what if it don't run? Hey, you're not in debt and you ain't have to work to pay for it. You got to work to fix it, but you don't owe anything. You can go to church.
Amen. Yeah.
Because what they'll do is you'll get that job, then you got to pay for insurance. Well, I got to work. Got a young lady right now. Told her what was going to happen. You'll never work on Sundays. You only have to work. Never to work on Sundays. First thing they've done is work on a Sunday.
Yeah.
First thing they've done. I told her, don't give it. Don't do it. Don't move that anchor. Been in church for a long time now. Don't move that anchor. Work on Sunday. They have never stopped working on a Sunday. Amen.
Yeah.
My youth pastor's sitting right there. You can ask him if that's not true. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. Pray about it all the time. Pray. Breaks my heart. It really does. Got a car. Got to have a job. I want you to understand something. I've been a pastor for over 20 years. I forget how long now. It's getting there where you forget things. But I've been a pastor for over 20 years. I've never had a job that requires me to work on Sunday or Wednesdays. And I've had to work all but 9 months of being a pastor. Started a church, took a church. I've worked. I work a job right now. I've never had to work Sundays. You know what my first thing is when I come in, sit down for a job? I can't work Sundays. I can't work Wednesdays. And I need Saturdays from like 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock off. So I can go on visitation. First thing comes out of my mouth. I work for Hy-Vee in Bethany, Missouri. They didn't sell alcohol, so I could work there. Yeah, there should have been a whole lot more amens, adults. They didn't sell alcohol, so I could work there. I took a job, $6 an hour, stacking groceries with teenagers at 29 years old. Whoo! You say, well, that's not bad. It is when you're 29. They make fun of you. They think you're old. I said, wait till 50. I know now. You want to know something? You want to understand something today? I worked up there 7 years. I was assistant manager. I was on salary for a while. And every time they'd come and ask me about a job, you know what they'd say? We know. No Sundays, no Wednesdays. They had it down better than I did. I got bonuses at the store. Bonuses. They had to do inventory on Sundays. I had a boss come to me one time. He says, you know, you get these bonuses. The others are doing it. I said, I can't do it. Take the bonus. I said, okay. He said, no, we're okay. I just wondered if maybe you. I said, no, I told you in the beginning. That was a deal. He said, yes, it was. You're right. Amen. A new boss, he come in. You know what he done? He said, we're going to bring alcohol in. I told him. I went to him face to face. He was a little shorter than I was, but I said, look, you tell me. He said, you'll give me 2 weeks' notice of when you're bringing that in. I'll give you 2 weeks' notice when I leave. And it was a good job. Benefits were incredible. I mean, really, it was good. I told him, I said, he says, all right. He called me in his office. He said, Jim, he says, we're getting ready to bring it in. I said, good, I appreciate that. He says, you know, he says, I'm a man of faith too. He says, I don't understand. I said, oh, wait a minute. I said, I'm not here to discuss that with you. And I wasn't. I said, I just told you, if you give me 2 weeks, I give you 2 weeks, and I appreciate you honoring that. But I'm not here to discuss faith. And I wasn't. Why? God's been the best thing that ever happened to me. Amen. Let me give you this. We're going to have to quit. I don't want to get into his time. He took my time. That's okay. I love you, brother. You must tie yourself off on the anchor. When that anchor is thrown overboard on a ship, it's got to be tied off. Amen? If you've ever set an anchor, it's got to be attached to the ship, right? Right? Now listen to me. Leave the rope alone.
That's right.
Leave the rope alone. Don't look for other things. Right. Now he's going to teach you. He's taught you on marriage and on the family this morning. Don't untie that rope. Leave it. Right. He's going to teach you on church this afternoon. Don't untie that rope. Yeah. Leave that rope alone. No matter what happens, no matter where it goes, don't untie that rope. You stay anchored. The world's not going to see it. Nobody does. Nobody understands me. Really, you can tell. Right? But I'll guarantee you this. You're not going to decide my faithfulness. And you're not going to decide my eternity.
Right.
I'm going to serve the one that does. And be faithful to him. Would you please stand with me?